Welcome to the Sigma Femme podcast. We're so honored to have you here and want to thank you for choosing to step up your life and business while being unapologetically you. The Sigma Femme is neither a leader nor a follower. She is committed to living her life, her way. She has charisma and unstoppable power like no other. Let's expand the Sigma Femme community together. Now here's your host, Hayley Forbes.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Sigma Femme podcast. I have got the amazing Demi, your biz coach Demi, on with me today. And I just want to really dive into this, Demi, because I have been in this online business space for over 10 years now, fully over different careers, and I love it. But one thing I notice again and again and again is the need to be having conversations about the people behind the business, even with people like you and me who've got personal brands whose life is so connected to the business. It's also, yes, and there's so much more. There's so much more like deeper context, and there's so much bigger conversations that either people aren't having or people aren't hearing. So I'd love for you to take me right back and tell me, like, who is Demi, little girl Demi? What was she like? How did she think? Like, did you have the confidence? Have you always been the type of person that like goes out there and creates? Tell me about her.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much, first of all, for having me and inviting me to be on. I think that this is, it's like you said, it's so important for us to have these conversations and for people to listen in and understand, like, what you see online is really half the story. You know, the results you see online, like, where did that actually come from? Who did you have to become to get to where you are? And so I'm really grateful for you holding this space and for us to be actually able to have this conversation. So before I dive into all things about me, thank you for this because it's amazing. But for those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Demi and I am a seven-figure business mentor. I specialize in marketing, launching, sales strategies for women that are really looking to take their business up a notch, build six, multi-six and upwards to seven-figure companies. But yeah, it wasn't always this way. If you want me to go back to who I was when I was growing up, I was like the rule follower. I was the goody two-shoes. I was the do everything by the book and society's rules person. Those were like really the values that I was raised on and grew up with. It was always go to school, get a good job, get the house, like do the things, right? And I did that for so long. In school, it was like, I don't want to get in trouble. I was always, I call it Switzerland between all of my friends because I was the one who never wanted to be involved in any drama or anything like that. And so, no, like I haven't always been confident in my own opinion. And I haven't always been this person that, you know, holds her boundaries and doesn't care, quote unquote, as much about what people think of her. That was never really me. But when I stepped into this business space and I really, you know, had to develop what it today is this incredible company, I had to learn how to not be so much of a people pleaser. I had to learn to actually be a CEO. I had to learn that not everybody's going to agree with you or like you, and you can't actually do anything about that, and showing up and just being completely yourself and not being scared about the judgments and all of those things is what will really help you actually sign the dream clients and build the brand and build the company that you feel like so attached to, because it's literally an extension of you.
I love that. And you said that you were like the rule follower. Mm-hmm. You followed the sort of traditional path as well. Obviously, something happened between there and where you are now. What was it that really got you into this? So, two things here. What was it that got you into it? And then what was your expectations of first coming into this world?
Okay, I love this. So I think for me, the thing that actually like kickstarted my career in this online space was I was working, you know, the corporate 9-to-5 job, like a lot of people's stories. And I live in one of the most expensive places to live in Canada. And you know, with everything, the price is going up for everything. I mean, like I was literally scraping by every single month. I remember just being at work and they had me on all the different departments. You know, I was head of marketing and then they threw some HR at me and like, yeah, they're like, yeah, you have a business degree. You went to school. You're fine. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm drowning in work. And my paychecks every single 2 weeks were like $1,600. You know, it was like unsustainable for me to actually be able to save money and to live the life that I wanted to live. Like I was, so I asked for a raise actually is what happened. And I actually got denied getting that raise. So I wanted like, and it wasn't a big raise. I think I asked for like $5,000 a year extra. And the company that I was working for had that in the budget. Trust me, you know.
So the good girl doesn't always get it right. It's like, I followed the rules. I done what you ask. And I'm just asking for this little bit extra. But the good girl who follows the rules and doesn't like abides by society isn't always the one who wins.
Exactly. Right. And it was like, I felt like I was being taken advantage of because they were always throwing things at me because I was the good girl and the people pleaser who was always going to go above and beyond and do the things because I wanted people to like me, you know, like it was still ingrained in me even into adulthood. And then, you know, it was that day I remember specifically coming home and I was so just pissed off when I got denied for that raise because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And for those of you guys who might know my story, but if you don't, I was also in restaurants. I worked as a general manager at a restaurant for years before I went into corporate. And I said to my boyfriend at the time, and I'm like, Jake, I don't want to go back to serving to make that extra income. I don't want all my days to be working and all my nights to be at the restaurant. Like I just got out of that. Like, and I worked so hard to claw my way out of that. And now I'm back at square one and I feel like I can't do anything. And so it was so funny. I literally got online that very same night. I found what is virtual assisting, started up a website on Wix. It was horrible. It had the ads on it. I wasn't paying for anything back then, right? And then I started an Instagram page and I just started consuming and started educating myself, right? I was like, oh, I have a business degree. I do marketing. I do admin. I do HR. Like I can do virtual assisting. And then it really just skyrocketed from there.
Amazing. And when was this? What year was it?
This is back in 2019.
Amazing. And then what was it? So did you follow the virtual assistant route first? And then did you get into like business coaching and things and mentoring from that space?
Yeah. So I did. Like I got into virtual assisting. I had no idea what I was doing, just consuming YouTube videos and all of those things. And then I finally actually got up the courage to invest in my very first program, you know, and I remember like I was the person again, like the good girl who was always taught, save your money, don't give money to strangers on the internet, like for God's sakes. Who are you giving your money to? Don't put in your credit card details. Like, this is a scam, right? I was always just taught to kind of be on high alert for those things. But I remember being so freaking scared because this is also money I did not have at the time. Like this went on a credit card and I was like, I have to bet on myself. And I went and I invested the money into my first program. I pivoted into social media because I just loved social media and the marketing aspect. And then from there, it, you know, I really grew the social media management side of things. And I had other social medias and other VAs coming into my DMs being like, how are you doing this? And so I started coaching for free and, you know, doing all of those things. And like I said, it just really snowballed from there.
Yeah, I love what you said as well about like people saying like, don't give money away on the internet. Like my grandma still thinks that like I'm getting conned somewhere. Like she's like, yeah, to my mum's Sharon. Yeah, but Sharon, like, are you sure? Like, is Haley going to these like seminars and they're just like selling her into things? Like, I'm not sure how legit they are. And my mum's like, that's not quite what Haley's doing. It's not that. It doesn't matter kind of thing. So it's so funny. Like people don't understand this world unless they're really in it as well. But I loved how you said that you got started watching the free YouTubes and watching the free things because I think a lot of people can take away from your story there that, oh, you put like you invested in a coach and like that was the first thing. And a lot of people tell themselves, I can't do that yet. But it wasn't. The first thing you did was set up a website. The first thing you did was consume. The first thing you did was put yourself in the room that was available to you first. And then when that next big scary step came, you took it. And there's so many people that might be listening that are like, I can't do this yet. And it's like, you can do anything. And you maybe had no idea there was this online coaching space, yet here you are today. So tell me a bit about, so when you started expanding into this space, and you mentioned before as well about previously being like a people pleaser, and that's something I can identify with. So did that start showing up in the online space? And as you started to grow and scale, what were some of the things that you found you were going through in the business as well as personal life, like the good and the bad?
I love that. So yeah, I mean, it definitely shows up, and it's still honestly something that I continuously work on to this day. Like
I'm like, I'm a recovering people pleaser.
Literally.
I'm not recovered. I am recovering.
Literally. But it's crazy because I am completely like a different human being than I was, you know, 3-4 years ago. But it's because I've actively worked on it. You know, it's not just something that you just decide and it's going to happen, because as you come up, like, you know, all of those things can come up in business where you then have to choose, like, how am I going to respond to this? So, you know, things like in the beginning, it was always people asking for extended payment plans and I didn't want to give one, but, you know, I gave one anyways because, you know, I'm a people pleaser. Or it was, I would create a piece of content and somebody wouldn't agree with it. And so I'd feel like the need to go and like completely explain myself or delete the piece of content or like retract into my hole and like feel bad about myself for however long because I offended somebody online, you know, or somebody didn't agree with me. It really showed up in like just my messaging overall. Like I was trying to be a friend to everybody and it can't work that way. Like I can't be the coach for everybody and I'm not. And just really getting behind that was huge. But for me, the biggest thing was boundaries, right? Like I felt like in the beginning, when I first started working with clients, like I had to be, they were paying me. So I owed them literally my life is how I felt, right? If you needed something on a Saturday and you voxered me, I had my voxer on and it's like, yes, of course, no problem. I'll put my life on hold for everybody else. And I think that really had to shift when, as the business grew, my life was just always being put on hold and it put strain on like my other relationships and personally my health and my mental wellness. And, you know, I actually learned that I'm not being a leader for people right now. Like I am not being the person that somebody can hire and I can feel proud about that, you know, like, and that's when it really clicked to be like, no, you have to make a change here. You have to hold your ground. You have to set standards. You have to be somebody who is just grounded and an actual leader for people and build the business, like build your life around the business and not the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to dive into, you said there about like putting health on a back burner and relationships and your mental health and what that looked like to you, because I think one thing that I found that everybody sees as easier for other people, like it's easier for them, they've got it easier, they're just lucky, that couldn't be me, they must not feel this way. And I think, like I always say, listen, everybody's got it better than you and everybody's got it worse than you. You will always find someone who's got it better, someone that's got it easier. You'll find like the thing that you're struggling with, someone else is craving to get that. So it's all, we've all got our own stories, but I'd love to just like dive in case there's anybody listening that like can relate to that as well. And maybe your story can help them move through that and navigate that as well. So what did that look like in other areas, maybe where your business was like starting and it was thriving and growing? What were the other areas looking like that really made you say, no, this has to change. This has to change. I can't live like this. Mm-hmm. As you said, this is not leadership. Mm-hmm. What were those things?
I love this conversation. So I think this also even goes back to the question that you asked earlier around like expectations when I came into this space. Back in like 2019, 2020, you know, everybody was trying to get to a 3K month. That was like the magic number. And, you know, there wasn't really any of these, like, we didn't have TikTok back then and like the get rich quick, you know, like, and I think that people's expectations about how fast they're supposed to see results in this online space have drastically changed, where newer people come in now and they just expect that if they make an investment or they start showing up that they're automatically now going to have like 50K months. And it's like, no, like you're not, you have to actually do the work. This is a hard journey. When it comes to somebody having it easier than others as well, and this is where I think people really need to like take a fine tooth comb to this, is you could look at somebody and say, oh, she has it easier than me. And chances are there could be life circumstances that actually make it easier for her to do the things. Like everybody is on a different journey. For me personally, I don't have kids. I don't really have a lot of crazy responsibilities outside myself, my dog, my fiance, like that's it. So in the beginning, you know, and at the time too, when I was in my 9-to-5 and working on the side with my VA and social media management business, you know, I had the means to listen to a podcast at work, maybe, you know, do a little bit of work on my lunch break, like all of those pieces. And I actually ended up asking if I could shift the time frames that I work. So instead of 9-to-5, I worked 7-to-3 and I avoided traffic. And I can't, like all of those pieces, like everything adds up to the story of, you know, what you went through. And so I definitely think when, you know, if you're somebody listening, you're like, oh, like she has it easier than me or whatever it is, or she has those results and I want those results. and you're getting down on yourself because you didn't hit them in a certain amount of time or whatever it might be, like you have to really look at your journey. But then on the other side of that, you also have to look at your mindset and the actions that you're taking, because I do see people complain, or I do see people like, you know, project, like, I guess, onto other people of that it's easier for them, or they just have it, or I'll never be as good, or whatever it is. But it's also about what are the actions that you're truly taking.
A good conversation around this as well is like sacrifices. And I was speaking to someone else on the show around this as well. And I look at, so I've got 4 kids, we home educate them. I've got kids with additional needs. So I have built the business through that and through navigating all of that as well. And there are some times I can look at someone else's life and I'm like, oh, like, not that I would try, like, I love my life, I love my business, but sometimes I'm like, what would it be like to get like a full night's sleep and then wake up and have peace for a day? Like, what would business and life look like then? And what was really interesting is I was interviewing someone else and she sacrificed. So she's older than me now and she doesn't have a family yet. And that is something she wants to do. But now she has to be really intentional. Like, time is ticking. And what she sacrificed, and she said it herself, was, and I don't believe you have to sacrifice. And I think that's another conversation as well, because I just do believe that women get to be, do and have it all. And I think it's like, make your choice and deal with the consequences, because there's going to be consequences either way. Like, put yourself in the arena or don't, but take that self-awareness, take that radical responsibility. Like, as I said, you're the thing that you could be hating on, someone else is craving that they had that. Someone else is wishing that they had that problem. And so I think this is like an amazing conversation to have. It's like, can you believe that you don't have to work yourself to the bone, that you can have boundaries, that you don't have to people please, and at the same time know that those are the things, and navigating that for yourself is going to be what builds the emotional mastery that is likely to get you to that higher level as well. Okay, so you spoke as well about coming into this world and like expectations, and I'm going to get to where you are just now, but I'd just love to like go back a little second as well. And what did your success look like in the beginning? Like, what was fast success to you in the beginning, and what did that look like?
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, I remember when I signed my first client, and it was, and this is also such an important message too. I remember when I signed my first client and it was like $200 a month. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm making $200 extra a month and I'm working from home and like, this is amazing. And I'll never forget, you know, my first $1,000 month. And it's like these little moments, and that sometimes even, you know, I have to remind myself for where I am now, where it's like, ugh, I only had a $5,000 day. Ugh, I only made $10,000 today. And it's like, are you kidding? Like, shut up, right? Like, remember when you were screaming around your kitchen dancing because you made $200? Like, bring that energy back into where you are right now. Like, remember those moments. So I think for me, like, yeah, in the beginning, it was fast success for me was number one, because I put in so much work. But I remember we hit our very first 6 figures in sales in about 9 months. To me, that's pretty fast success when you think about it, from starting from absolutely knowing that this world didn't really even exist to creating $100,000 in revenue is pretty crazy.
What I find about these stories, and I don't know if you're the same, so I had a similar story to you, is that I started in February. June, we hit an 86K sales in that month, but the first month was like 5K cash we brought in, and we didn't hit lower than a 5-figure month again. People see that. I'm always like holding the duality of, we want to celebrate that you can come into this industry and you can make a lot of money really quickly, but it's not guaranteed. And I think, like, you're the same as me. You were celebrating like that $200 extra a month and there was no expectations. I think the problem isn't like wanting or desiring or even calling in a lot of money quickly. It's the expectation of it should happen now, and not also looking at the background that, yes, we came into this industry and it was very new to us at the beginning, but you had your background, and similarly I had a background in online business and social media. And then I think from the sense of as well, it's like both, like, we done the emotional mastery stuff, we done the personal development, like, we done the hard work. I remember at the beginning, there's no way I'd go back to it. There was like one day and I started at 7 o'clock in the morning and I was still on my computer at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, should you build your business like that? Absolutely not. But also be aware of what people did in the beginning. And it's like, can you have awareness of that? But also trust, you don't have to build it that way. It doesn't have to look like that. But also you can't compare if you're working 3 hours a week just now and expecting it to land out of nowhere.
Oh, well, that's the thing. And it's like, I remember when I shifted into my coaching business, I was doing a free masterclass every month and I was in the DMs with people and I was having conversations and I was going live. I went live every day for a year. I went live on Instagram every day for a year. And then, you know, that's how I built the results. And after we hit our first like six figures, we went to multi-six very, very quickly because of the community and all of the things that were built. And if you don't want to do those things, that's totally fine. But I'm telling you, like, if you want to know the way that I built so quickly is because I was so dedicated and so committed and I worked a lot of hours and I showed the hell up every single day, whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah, there's like no magic key. I always say your actions have to match your ambition. There's absolutely nothing wrong with not wanting to work a lot in the beginning, but then your ambitions has to match that. If you want 10k months in your first 3 months of business and you're only willing to work 10 hours a week, that's probably unrealistic. You can work 10 hours a week, but then say 10k months is a 3-year goal, not a 3-month goal. Or so I always say, like, you have to change one or the other. You have to, your actions have to match your ambition, and there's just nothing around that. And it's not just the actions of strategy, work harder, like I love a bit of hustle.
Yeah.
Like I love it, I just do. I think there's a time and a place for hustle. I don't think it's a negative thing. I think having the self-awareness to know when to hustle and know when to not is huge. But I love that conversation, and the actions is the hustle, but it's also, what are you doing to work on yourself? Like, what rooms are you putting yourself in? Like, what mindset are you taking on? Are you doing the work on you in the background as well? And I'd love to know, like, what did that look like for you if you'd done that kind of stuff? Like, how were you developing yourself in the background?
I invested in my very first like emotional intelligence program back in like 2020. Like when I was really starting to make some money in business, that was one of the first things beyond business coaching that I invested in, because I knew that, you know, this whole journey, there was so many bumps on the road, and there were moments where I was irritable, or there were moments where I was frustrated with things. And I'm like, oh, like, I don't even really know how to manage all of the feelings that I'm going through and all of the different hats and everything that I have to wear and dealing with all of the different people. That's the thing too. When I think about mentorship and coaching, people want to start a mentorship and coaching business, maybe sometimes for the wrong reasons. Right. But you also have to realize, like, if you're somebody that's saying you want to grow and scale a coaching business and you want to make impact, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. That was one of the very first things that I did. And I have been, you know, with my emotional intelligence coach, the same coach since 2020. She knows me inside and out. She knows my pattern. She knows my whole entire story. And I think that that's honestly one of the most impactful things. And I'm so glad I did that for myself back then, because I don't think I would be the person and have the perspectives and just like be the grounded leader that I am today without the emotional intelligence side of things. So yes, like I invested in so much business strategy and masterminds, and like for the first like 2 years, that's where most of my investment went, right? It wasn't really in team. It was more so in business and learning like how to be the best. But yeah, like the emotional side, I think like a lot of people just tend to forget that the strategy is not going to work unless you actually can sustain and yourself and the emotions and navigating all of the pieces that come with, you know, you actually growing more and more and more.
Yeah. And I see that in the clients that come into my world as well, the ones that are open to also doing that work or have done it will always escalate so much faster. And it's this thing that, yes, you can do the same strategies as someone else and you can have the same business model as someone else, but how you hold yourself through it is like everything. What would you say was there a point, and I'd love to look again, like you first started in those sort of first 1 to 2 years in your business. Was there a time when you ever thought about not doing it? Or was there a time that you were just questioning, like, was this worth it? Or were you just like always in it?
I honestly feel like every entrepreneur has had those thoughts. And if they haven't, you're lying. Like, if you have
Brina, I don't even, mine's is like, I love people, but mine's is always, I don't even like people anyway. Like, why am I doing this? I don't like people. I don't want to do this. I just want to live in like a cave for the rest of my life.
Oh my God, it's so funny. You know, honestly, I've had those moments. I remember specifically there was a really hard month in business where it just felt like it was like one thing after another, like a client like issue, and then, you know, another a failed payment, and then this and this and this. It was one of those like moments where you're like, oh my God, like that's it. Everything's going passive. Let me Google affiliate marketing. Like, how can I make money just working like for somebody else, but still online? Like, I don't even know. Like, there's been like, I remember specifically one month back, like a few years ago, that it was like, oh my God, I'm so fed up with this. But then the thing for me and how I work myself through those hard days or those mindset pieces, because there are, like, no matter what, there are going to be failed payments. There are going to be client issues. Like, no matter what level you get to, I work myself through them by reminding myself not to let the few, like, ruin it for me personally or for the many people that I actually love and, like, the good things. So I know sometimes we can, when it feels heavy, we can focus a lot more on the negative or, like, what we don't like, but it's also reminding ourselves why we're doing this, why we love it, like what our goals are, like, and that, and you're strong enough to get through it. And I honestly, and I have a post about this coming out actually, it's funny. I honestly hope that people have and go through those hard, really like, this is it, this is the moment times, because that's when you have your biggest breakthroughs as well, right? Like, that's when so many things have shifted for me in my business where, you know, I've up-leveled the clients that are coming in. I've up-leveled the standards for the people that get to actually work with me. You know, I've up-leveled like my standard operating procedures, my legal team, my, like, everything has just elevated because I chose to look at those as like really big lessons and then do something different about it. So it doesn't happen again.
100%. And it is, you can look back, and it's good with hindsight, but you look back and you see how those things really did shift and make you show up in a different and more aligned way as well to the version of you that you're stepping into next. So fast forward, last year you done $1 million in the last year, so that was $1 million cash, wasn't in the last year. Like, how is that hitting? Was that your, I think that was your first year that you hit $1 million within the year. How was that? How did it feel? Like, was there, I want to know, like, all the feelings that were associated with that.
It's honestly crazy. Yeah, last year was our first $1 million cash year. We almost did 1.4, which is insanity to me. And this year we've already done $1 million. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, I think last year was the year that I stopped focusing so heavily on the money. I stopped focusing so heavily on the how of how everything is going to fall into place. And like, I used to be the person that, like, as soon as I'd make a sale, oh, I'm going to my tracker, I'm going to put that in. And like, oh, let me like create all of these like predictions in my income. And like, I used to be that person that was so tied to it. And last year I just let myself have more fun. I let myself like just be and create what I wanted to create. And last year was also the year I really dipped my toes into like fun micro offers and all of those things. And I had the most fun in my business last year that I have ever had. And I truly think that, yes, all of the work prior helped with that. But because I was just in it, and I wasn't so focused on how am I hitting the million this year, my content hit harder, my energy was better, like my coaching was actually better, you know? And I think that that was a really big reason as to why we did that. So it's so funny because I didn't even know when we hit the million, you know? My bookkeeper messaged me, she's like, congratulations. And I'm like, holy crap, like this actually just happened and I'm so freaking excited.
So I'm going to go into this like a little bit deeper now because I know that we have spoken about behind the business as well. And I also just want to sort of pre-frame this for everybody listening as well, is you can listen to what we're talking about and you can hear it or you can listen and really take it in. Now, I have seen some of your posts online and you share the behind the business. I don't know if you feel the same like with your audience, but when I share posts like that and like people like it, they love it, they feel it, like they're feeling your vulnerability, they're understanding it in that moment, but they don't really take it in. Like people see, and then those same people are like, oh, it's so easy for you, you must never struggle with anything. And you're like, I literally just shared everything like in a post last week, but people only see what they want to see and stack up the evidence for it's so easy for them and it's not for me. So I just want anybody who's listened to this to see if you can just listen to this in like a different way and really understand, because I think if people do, they'll get so much learning from this as well. So what were the things that people didn't see in the last year, the last couple of months, even in your business as well? What are the things that people, even if you've spoke about them, but people maybe aren't really seeing, and you'd love people to understand the what's going on behind the business, as well as all like the shiny, amazing, fun, exciting, celebratory things?
Yeah, I always see like you can choose to like just see the results and the money, or you could choose to see the person that I've really had to become and what I've had to do in order to get the results and the money and the shiny, you know? I mean, there's just been so much. Like, you know, to even talk about a situation that happened in June, my partner had an accident and I had to put everything on hold in the business. You know, like it was so extreme. I had no energy beyond what I could give to my paying clients. Like I had no energy for anything else. And I think that one of the things that people see, or that maybe they don't see, is sure, Demi was able to lean back and take a month off and still make $100,000 that month. And that's amazing. But they don't see all of the work and the setup that actually went into me creating that business. You know, like I prioritize recurring revenue. I prioritize brand building. I prioritize community building. So the reason why I was able to actually lean back was because of all of those things, right? I also think people don't realize, like, people want the big money, but also with like, it's like more money, more problems, whatever that song is, right? Like the more money you make, I mean, like, I think there's also a lot of internal things that you have to navigate through, you know, like for me, again, recovering people pleaser, afraid of like people not liking me, you know, I always thought that like, oh, if I shared this, what are people going to think? You know, are people going to feel like my results are not even attainable for them? Are they going to feel like I'm too far away? And like, that's going to make them, you know, not want to come in and learn from me? Or, you know, are people going to think I'm only about the money, right? And it's like, no, I'm about so much more than just the money. And the money is a byproduct of literally every single piece of work that I've done, every post that I've made, every connection that I've built, every relationship. Like the money is a byproduct of me being really good at what I do and continuing to invest in and learn how to be better. So I think there's just like those pieces that people don't see you go through on the back end. I actually hosted a masterclass for people that are in my membership called the Wrap Up, 6 month wrap up. And I went through every single month of this year up to July and talked about the good, what happened, what the strategy was. But then I also talked about what I navigated through that month. And the response to that was just so incredible. And I think when people are in that mindset of also when they're paying to listen to these conversations, they do listen with a little bit of a different ear than just a scroll on social media.
100%. And I'd love to know, so when you, so in June, when that accident happened, was there a time where you were sort of reevaluating everything? So I know this has happened to me twice now. So in the first 6 months of me starting this business, I lost my brother suddenly. So he was a year older than me. So it was like navigating. And I was like, how can I show up and talk about Instagram when like my whole life is falling apart? And like, what does this even mean anymore? But then again, I remember it was about a year ago and one of my kids wasn't very well. And I just had this thought and I leant in and I asked my coach and I said, if you had to suddenly take 6 months off your business, could you do it? And she replied, she's like, not right now. Like, this is such a great question. Honestly, I couldn't right now. And I was like, me either. And that doesn't feel good. Like, that doesn't feel good that something could happen. And yes, I'd be okay for a couple of weeks or a month. And then yes, I'd still have recurring revenue coming in, but the business would also start to go downwards, right? Because I'm not there, I'm not advertising, I'm not. So these situations really made me sit and evaluate, well,
what am I building here? What is the bigger picture? How do I want my business to run in the back end as well? Like, what's the longer term vision and context? That's not just, I think sometimes we always hear about the long term vision, like speak on stages and travel the world and have a book and all this thing. And it's like, what if something changes and that's not like, is your business just going to disappear? And I went really dark. I was like, if something happened to me, I remember saying to my husband, I said, if something happened to me, you guys wouldn't have the business. Now, we're set up with like investments and stuff, so the family would still be okay. But everything I've built, like this leg, we throw around the word legacy, but really that would die in an instant. And like nobody, apart from the people that are really close to you, would remember what you're building. And I was like, I want this business to go on beyond me. So that's where, just to give like a bit of context, was there any of this that came up for you? Was there any of these feelings? Like, were you questioning anything like to do with the business while you were going through this situation?
100%. But I also, like, it's funny because I had just shifted one of my main signature programs the month before. And I was like, I remember talking to my COO and I'm like, I was so scared to do this for so long. I remember plugging into my mentor and my emotional intelligence coach and literally everybody that I had to be like, oh, like I want to shift this. And I remember back in March, I made a few shifts. I played small, right? And I didn't go all the way with it because I was, again, I had that little bit of like fear of, oh, like people aren't going to like this, right? And in May, I actually shifted it. I did a full-fledged launch. We changed the entire program. Like we made it way like more scalable for me personally. We took away all the like one-on-one support, all of those things. And I was like, oh my God, like if imagine if I didn't do that. Like this month would have looked even more different because I would have had to be canceling calls and you know, like all of those pieces. So I'm like, thank God that I actually listened to what it was that I wanted and I had the courage to go ahead and make the necessary changes and have those communications with current clients and all of that. And I think that was massive. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, it really was just like a pivotal moment to like talk more about recurring revenue, talk more about building sustainability. Now, I've always been about that, but I felt it on an even deeper level after that month, for sure.
The conversation as well about you going to shift something and kind of doing it and then not, like, has that whole situation and then that happening the way that it did, has that shifted something in you? I know and I can feel and see and everything, you've got such a level of self-trust anyway, but do you think that's like cultivated this even deeper self-trust of like, if something's coming up, like follow that pull?
100%. And I mean, I think that self-trust, and this is also something we talk about all the time, is like the clients that do the best trust themselves and like they go all in and they do these things and they just know. And it's like, yeah, but also self-trust is a backbone that's built. Like I didn't have self-trust when I first started this thing. I had to invest and then see the evidence and then do the thing and see the evidence. And like every decision that I made, like the self-trust backbone built over time. And now it's like, oh, 50 grand for mentorship in full? Sure, no problem. Let me just go to the bank. Like,
is there ever a time like you sit with things like that? Because I'm the same and I'll drop like multi five figures to go and like chill with someone for like 2 days. And sometimes I'm in like such, it's so normal. And then you're having a conversation with someone who's like maybe not in this space. And then you're just like, sometimes I'm like, is this real? Like, are we living in like a real world? And like, sometimes it just like brings you back down. But then you remember, it's like, no, this is what, this is the level you're playing at now in the realm and the abundance. And also, I always remind myself, like, to some people, I think the moves that we make are really, really big. But as soon as you go bigger, these moves are tiny. And again, it's like the same thing. Again, it's like people can see 100k months and be like, I can't even imagine 100k year, never mind 100k month, like, or 200k month, like that is insane. And there'll be other people in this world that is like, 100k month's a bad month.
Yeah, I know.
And like, I think again, it's like that context of, and I think like that feeling never changes. You just learn to sit with it and hold it. And
what you were available for in the beginning, it's like that shifts and you're not available for lower than that. And then like you're navigating like this next level that you're holding. And then you look back and you're like, how did I ever think that? Like, I used to think things were like a lot of money. I remember doing a course and opting in for a 3-month payment plan because it was like £333. It was like one of my first courses. Oh my God. I was like, I'll put that on a pay monthly, like on a credit card. Like, because it was so big. And I was like, I'm paying money for, I don't even know what, like this online course on the internet. And now that, like, those kind of things, like, don't even, like, you don't even blink at things that are like 100 times that now.
I know. It's crazy. And I mean, like, I'll say this, but I don't know how many people will like it. I mean, even making 100K a month, it's not that much money. Like, when you're running a business, when you have expenses and you're investing in all these things, I'm like, 100K, like, I could spend that in the business in 2 months. But I can't, again, like, it's going back to those moments and like visualizing myself dancing around my kitchen at the first $200 sale and like remembering how far you've come, because I do think that that keeps you grounded as you start to make more money, right? Because it really,
like,
is.
Holding it both as well, I think, because if anybody's watching this and you said like some people won't like this, but if they don't, that's a self-reflection. If you're judging someone else for something, that's just a mirror up and they're judging themselves. And while they judge others and ultimately judge themselves, they'll never achieve that. So it's like, if you want that and you want those 100K months, like, notice where you're putting that as like, oh, that's like vulgar talking about like that, like it's nothing when there's these people out in the world struggling. And there's no, like, you getting rich doesn't make someone else poorer. Like, you getting like that, those things don't go hand in hand. And actually, the more money you get, the more you can give back as well. And that's just something that I really anchor into. But I think it's such an important reminder that, like, if you are judging, have a look and see, where is that impacting your life? Where else are you judging other people for other things? And ultimately, you're judging yourself and you're blocking yourself from receiving that.
One thing I'll say, though, like, around money is my lifestyle really hasn't changed that much. Based on the money I make, I still, you know, go to the clearance section when I go to the store. Like, I'm still careful. It's so funny. It's like $30 for a t-shirt. Absolutely. $50,000 for mentorship. Like, sign me up. It's so funny the way I think sometimes. But, like, I'm still very, like, you know, careful with my money, and I invested and I make sure of all those things, and my lifestyle hasn't really changed, you know? Sure, I bought the nice car that I want and I don't have to worry about like ordering takeout 7 days a week if I wanted it, you know? Like, but for me, like, the thing that I like have done with my money is be able to give back. Like, I took my whole family and treated my parents to a Mexico trip for Christmas. And I just bought, my sister's birthday was on Monday, and I bought her a trip. We're going to go to Florida and like give her these experiences. So for me, it's like my lifestyle and like what I buy for myself, like, hasn't really changed, no matter the money. And a lot of the money too, like, I think that's what people don't understand, is it does get reinvested back into the business. You know, like, sure, I had $100,000 cash month. When I say that, it's like $100,000 in cash invoices paid. That's not like profit, you know, that's cash, yes, but not all overall profit, because I make investments.
And then profit, there's these people on the internet as well who like push for like only talk about profit, and people will say all different things. I think you can celebrate it all. I think you can desire all, and I think that's amazing. And that is one important conversation to have, that remember, the profit coming in isn't how much you're taking home, but then also the money you're taking home isn't the money that you keep either, because there's things that you're investing in for like your long-term success, and investments that tie up your money, and also investing in yourself to keep you operating at the level you're operating at. So things like that would be deemed luxury, I guess they are, but things like your health, your wellness, like having time away. And it's like, these things take money, but those things allow you to show up the best way you can. But I think that's what people just see the big money and think, oh, it must be so easy for them, they've got this and this. But you're also being smart with that, you're holding that, you're delegating that in all different places as well. And as you say, like, reinvesting it. And that's just something I've always done from the beginning. And I see the difference with some people who get success really quickly and go out and spend it all. Like, the first year, we cancelled all holidays that year, we went all in on the business, and everything bar the bare minimum that we needed to live off went right back into reinvesting in the business again. And you don't have to do it that way, but again, it's like, you have to have context context of other people's stories.
Yeah. And I always talk to my clients because, you know, I think finances and things like that aren't really talked a lot about online, especially like, you know, business coaching. But I mean, like, I pay myself as an employee technically of my company. You know, like if I had to pay myself $100,000 every single month, I'd lose half of it to taxes. You know, like that money is, it's locked up. It's away. Yeah. Like it's in flow in the business. It's not coming directly to me because then I literally lose on it.
So you're a smart businesswoman.
Right? Like I pay what I need to pay every single month, or I take money out, or I pay myself in dividends, whatever it is, if I want to make a big investment or whatever. You know, or I want to book a trip or do something, like, yeah, the money's there. But at the same time, when you take that money, what people don't realize is when you take that money out of your business and you pay yourself, like, you also have to pay personal tax and business tax, like, you're going to lose it, right?
And it's why so many people end up having multiple businesses, because they're smart with their money. And I'm not going to get into that, because that's another, go speak to your accountant around, go speak to your accountant about that. I am not going to give any financial advice on this. But I think like that is, and that's why there's so much tied up as well. I'd love to know, like, when you got into like what you would deem as like success, so like overflow, so more than enough, you've got more than enough right now. So it's like, yes, you're comfortable, but you've got more than that as well. Was there anything that surprised you about this, like any expectations that weren't met, or anything that came up that you were just maybe surprised that you had to hold or deal with, or anything like that that came up?
Honestly, I think it was just like the feeling of like, I thought it was gonna feel different, you know, to make all this money. And it's like, oh, I'm really the same person. It doesn't really feel that, I don't really feel that different. Just the decisions in the business are a little different, or the way that I show up and for my programs and the offers I create are a little different. Like, I think that people think, like, again, like I grew up thinking money is bad. Don't talk about money. You know, it's rude to ask somebody how much money they make. And I think a lot of people see money as the enemy. But like, for me, it's really just like so neutral. And I think all of the work that I've done around money mindset has made it neutral. And so when I hit these big milestones or I have my biggest cash months, it's like, I'm celebrating. Let's go out to dinner. I'm like, okay, we're good. Like, next, on to the next thing.
Yep. I think that's actually one of the hardest things to remind yourself to come back and do is like this, that like when it's new, you're like celebrating every single little thing. And then when it gets like normal to you, you have to remind yourself like, this isn't normal, and I actually get to celebrate this, and I get to be in that vibration. And again, holding the duality between, well, of course, because I've built this, and this is still really extraordinary. I'd love to know, like, what is it that drives you now? Because one conversation that I always think is really valuable with people at like the level that you're at, it's like, well, why do you do what you do when it's no longer about the money? So in the beginning, you're like creating the money and making the money to get this business and make this business a success. So like, when you've got the success and you've got that monthly recurring coming in, like, what is the thing that still excites you and motivates you to show up every day in your business?
Oh my goodness, I think it's really the people. Like, it's not about the money, it's about like the relationships that I get to have and these cool conversations, you know, like that I don't get to have with anybody else. Like, my personal life, I'm not surrounded by entrepreneurs all day. You know, I'm not like we were talking about, it's not normal what we do. We live in this kind of like delusional world sometimes. And it's like, it's just the fact that I get to have these conversations and become the best version of me and help other people like live their dreams and show them what they're capable of. Like, that's what drives me at the end of the day, is like showing you like, you can freaking do this. Like, you can make this happen. It's not unachievable, and it's not as far away for you as you might think that it is. It's gonna be here sooner than you even realize if you keep doing the things.
If there was like one message that you had to leave with the world, like your legacy, the one message that you could leave, what would that be?
Oh my God, I would just say like, don't let your fears decide what your future is going to be. Your fear is meant to keep you safe. You know, it's an emotion that we feel, but you are still in the driver's seat and you have the power to control it. You have the power to choose, like, you know, and I think that for me, it's like, if I look back on my journey and it gives me goosebumps to even think about, it makes me emotional. If I didn't make the moves or like, you know, get through the fears and do it anyways, I wouldn't be here. And so I think, like, just not letting fear dictate what your future gets to be.
But also, I loved what you said there as well about, like, the fear keeps us safe, keeps us comfortable. But one thing that I think COVID showed a lot of people, and it sounds like, I love how you started with your story as well, is it actually didn't, because it wasn't keeping you safe. It wasn't sustainable. You live in the life that you were living. So you were playing by the rules, you were letting fear win, and yet it wasn't creating safety in your life because you didn't get that raise. And people seen that in COVID, they worked their whole lives and gave up their passions to have a safe job, and then they just lost it in COVID. So it's like, well, if there's a chance that you can lose anyway, lose doing something that you love, lose doing something that you're passionate about. Okay, just one piece of advice, or like, based on the topic behind the business, like, what is one lasting thing that you would like to leave and say for everyone?
I would just say, like, people just need to stop being so hard on themselves. People put so much pressure on themselves to, like we were talking about, hit a certain goal or a certain number in a certain amount of time, or, you know, they spend more time comparing themselves to somebody else's results than actually looking in the mirror and asking them how they can show up differently or better, or what they can do. Like, for me, it's just like, stop being so hard on yourself. Like, everybody is on their own journey, your own timeline. But as long as you are showing up for yourself every single day and taking the actions and posting the content and sharing your voice, like, every single thing is adding up, and that's what matters.
100%. I love that. And I always say, I loved when you said there as well about showing up for yourself every day. Show up and give 100% every day, but your 100% every day will look different. Some days it'll literally just be getting up, putting on jogging bottoms and just getting through the day. And if that's your capacity for that day and you've gave it 100%, you can go to bed knowing that you've given it your all for your capacity that day. And other days it'll be starting a brand new business or going through your million year or your 100k month. So I absolutely love that. Demi, where can everybody find you and connect with you?
Ah, amazing. Well, you know that I show up on Instagram. It's like my little home hub, @yourbizcoachdemi. Pop over, like, say hi if you are from this podcast and you want to just chat. Like, my DMs are always open. It's a safe space for you to come into, and I'd love to hear, you know, what your biggest takeaways even were from this conversation.
Amazing. I love that. And I will also link your Instagram in the notes for everybody as well, so they can easily go and find you. Demi, thank you so much for coming on and joining this conversation, and thank you to everybody for listening. We will be back next week with another guest diving deeper into this season of Behind the Business. Thank you, everybody, and have an amazing week.
That was the Sigma Femme podcast with Hayley Forbes. To find out how Hayley can help you step into the next level of you and scale your business more than you ever thought possible, visit hayleyforbescoaching.com. That's hayleyforbescoaching.com.